A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a practical logistics puzzle that I think a lot of people are going to recognize. He's fallen hard for the Eurobox system, the 60 by 40 centimeter footprint, the 120 by 80 euro pallet, the way everything tiles perfectly into shipping containers. But here's the tension. His wife, Hannah, is American. They've got family in the US, and he's imagining a scenario where they ship a couple pallets of their stuff across the Atlantic for a summer's day. The question is, does the modular storage dream survive the journey? Can you find shelving in the US that fits a 60 by 40 box, or does the whole system collapse into incompatible plastic the moment it clears customs? And he also wants to know what the US industrial tote and pallet standards actually are, so we've got something to compare against.
This is exactly the kind of question that separates a nice idea from a working system. Because the Eurobox is brilliant within its ecosystem, but the moment you cross a border, you're asking whether that ecosystem exists on the other side. And the short answer is, not really, but it's not hopeless either. Let's start with what the US actually uses, because the numbers are where this gets interesting.
Walk me through the U.S. industrial tote. What's the standard footprint over there?
The most common industrial tote in the U.S. runs 24 by 20 inches. Convert that to metric and you get roughly 61 by 51 centimeters. So the width is close, 61 centimeters versus the Eurobox is 60, but the depth is 51 centimeters versus 40. That's an extra 11 centimeters, or about 4 1/3 inches deeper. And that matters enormously because these boxes use interlocking corner designs. The Eurobox has a specific stacking lip, and US totes have their own. They're not designed to talk to each other. You can physically place a Eurobox on top of a US tote, but it won't lock, and the weight distribution gets weird because the contact points don't align.
It's the "they look like they should work together, but absolutely don't" problem. The universal adapter that isn't.
And this is the first misconception worth busting. People see a stackable plastic box in a US hardware store and think, well, it's basically a Eurobox. It's not. The footprint is different, the interlock mechanism is different, and the load rating is often specified for a different stacking geometry. You can't mix systems and expect stability.
What about the pallet? Because that's the other half of the equation. Daniel mentioned the Euro pallet at 120 by 80 centimeters. What's the US equivalent?
The dominant pallet in the US is the GMA pallet. That's the Grocery Manufacturers Association standard, and it measures 48 by 40 inches. Converted, that's about 121.8 by 101.6 centimeters. Now here's the thing. The length is essentially identical to the Euro pallet. 121.8 versus 120. That 2 centimeter difference is negligible for most purposes. But the width, that's where the systems diverge. The GMA pallet is 101.6 centimeters wide, while the Euro pallet is 80 centimeters. That's 21.6 centimeters wider.
A Euro pallet is a long rectangle, and the GMA pallet is closer to a square.
And this creates a tiling problem. On a Euro pallet, two Euro boxes place side by side along their long edge span 120 centimeters, which fits perfectly on the 120 centimeter pallet length. But on a GMA pallet, if you place two Euroboxes side by side, you've still got 120 centimeters of width, but the pallet is 101.6 centimeters deep. The boxes are 40 centimeters deep, so two rows would be 80 centimeters, leaving 21.6 centimeters of empty pallet space. Or you try to fill it with a third row and you're overhanging by 18.4 centimeters. Neither is ideal.
The pallet math is awkward, and I'm guessing this gets worse when you look at shelving.
U.S. industrial shelving is built around the 48-inch increment. That's the magic number, 48 inches wide, and depths typically come in 18, 24, 36, and 48 inches. A Eurobox is 60 by 40 centimeters, which is about 23.6 by 15.7 inches. So if you put a Eurobox on a standard U.S. shelf that's 48 inches deep, you've got 32.3 inches of wasted depth behind it. That's a lot of dead air. and if you try to use an 18-inch deep shelf, which is the shallowest common standard, the box overhangs by about 3.7 inches. That's unstable for stacking, and it looks terrible.
3.7 inches of overhang is the kind of thing that makes you lie awake at night, wondering if you're going to hear a crash at 3 a.m.
It's not just the depth. The width adjustment on most U.S. wire shelving is in 1 or 2 inch increments. You can adjust shelf heights, but the uprights are pre-drilled for those increments, and the shelf widths are fixed. Finding a shelf that's exactly 60 centimeters, 23.6 inches, wide is not something you walk into Home Depot and grab. You're hunting specialty suppliers.
The dimensional reality is, U.S. totes are 11 centimeters deeper than Euroboxes. GMA pallets are 21.6 centimeters wider than Euro pallets, and U.S. shelving is built around 48-inch increments that don't match either system cleanly. That's the landscape. But let's make this concrete. What actually happens when someone tries to do what Daniel's describing, ship their Euroboxes to the U.S. and set up shop?
There's a case that illustrates this perfectly. Someone moved from Berlin to Chicago with about 40 Euroboxes. They'd built their whole home storage system around them, loved the modularity, didn't want to abandon it. They shipped everything in a partial container load, arrived in Chicago, and went to buy shelving. Standard U.S. wire shelving units, the kind you get at any big box store, come in 18-inch depth as the shallowest option. They bought those, set them up, and discovered that every single Eurobox hung over the front edge by 3.7 inches. Stacked two or three high, the center of gravity was shifted forward, and the whole arrangement felt precarious. They ended up using bungee cords to secure the stacks against the shelf uprights.
The official fastener of this wasn't supposed to work this way.
That's the reality. Without compatible shelving, your Euroboxes become floor-stacked boxes. You lose the vertical storage advantage, you lose the accessibility. You're basically back to cardboard boxes on the garage floor, just in nicer plastic. The modular system doesn't survive the transition unless you plan for it.
What does planning for it actually look like? Let's talk strategy. If Daniel wants to ship 2 pallets to the U.S. for a summer, what are his actual options?
I see 3 paths. Option A, maintain Euroboxes in both locations and import compatible shelving. Option B, accept a parallel system. Use U.S. totes for the U.S. location and keep Euroboxes for Europe. Option C, use Euroboxes purely as shipping containers, then decant into U.S. totes once you arrive.
Let's price these out. Option A, importing Eurobox compatible shelving. What does that actually cost?
There are specialty suppliers. Raako, which is a Danish company, has a U.S. distributor. They sell shelving units specifically designed for the 60 by 40 Eurobox footprint. A single rack unit, think about 2 meters tall, 4 or 5 shelves, runs somewhere between $400 and $600 delivered in the U.S. Compare that to a standard U.S. wire shelving unit of similar size, which you can get for $150 to $200. You're paying roughly 2 to 3 times the price for dimensional compatibility.
That's before you factor in that if something breaks or you need an extra shelf, you're not grabbing it off the shelf at the local store. You're ordering from a specialty distributor and waiting.
The lead time and shipping costs for replacement parts make it a commitment. But for someone who's genuinely splitting their life between continents and wants system consistency, that upfront cost might be worth it. You buy one good unit, it lasts for years, and every time you ship boxes back and forth, they slot right in.
Option B, the parallel system. This feels like admitting defeat, but maybe it's the pragmatic choice.
It's not defeat, it's acknowledging that different geographies have different infrastructure. If you're spending summers in the U.S. regularly, buying U.S. standard totes and shelving for that location means you always have a working system when you arrive. You ship your Euroboxes over with your belongings, but you don't try to use them as permanent storage. They're transport containers. Once you unpack, the Euroboxes nest inside each other and go into a closet until the return trip. Meanwhile, your U.S. totes handle daily storage.
U.S. totes are cheap and available everywhere. You can build out a garage system for a few $100 without any specialty ordering.
The downside is, you now have 2 incompatible storage systems in your life. And when you move between locations, you're repacking everything. But for a seasonal arrangement, that repacking happens twice a year. It's manageable.
Option C is basically a variant of B, decanting on arrival. But without investing in a full US tote system, you just unpack into whatever shelving is available and stack the empty Euroboxes.
Which works for a one-time or short-term stay. But if this is a recurring thing, you're going to want permanent shelving at both ends. The question is which shelving standard you commit to.
There's actually a clever workaround I want to highlight, because it solves the width problem elegantly. The 48-inch width of US shelving, that's 121.8 centimeters. Two Euroboxes placed side by side along their long edge are 120 centimeters. That's a near perfect fit on the width. So if you buy a 48-inch wide utility shelf, you can place Euroboxes in a 2x2 grid, two boxes across, two rows deep. The width works beautifully.
The depth mismatch, 40 centimeters of Eurobox depth versus 48 inches of shelf depth, can be handled by placing a shallow bin in front of each Eurobox. Something about 20 centimeters deep fills the gap and gives you accessible storage for small items. It's not elegant, but it's functional, and it means you can use off-the-shelf US shelving without custom ordering anything.
It's the good enough solution. Your Euroboxes sit at the back of the shelf, a US standard bin sits in front, and the whole thing looks intentional rather than like a measurement error.
A family in San Diego did exactly this. They had a collection of Euroboxes from a previous posting in Germany, moved to California, and bought standard 48-inch wide utility shelving from a hardware store. The 2x2 grid worked perfectly on the width, and they used clear plastic bins in front for things they needed to access frequently. Total cost for the shelving was under $200 per unit, and they didn't have to import anything.
That's the kind of field engineering that makes a system actually usable. Now let's talk about the shipping itself, because getting the boxes across the Atlantic is its own puzzle. Daniel mentioned a couple of pallets. What does that actually cost?
For less than container load shipping, LCL, from Europe to the US East Coast, you're looking at roughly $800 to $1,200 for two pallets. Transit time is typically 4 to 6 weeks. That's door-to-port or port-to-port, depending on the service. If you need door-to-door, add a few hundred more for last-mile trucking. The Euro pallets themselves are standardized for container loading, so the freight forwarder knows exactly what they're dealing with.
Once those pallets arrive, you're staring at a stack of Euroboxes in a US garage or storage unit, and you need to get them onto shelves. This is where the planning matters. If you haven't thought about shelving before the shipment arrives, you're going to be living out of floor-stacked boxes for weeks while you figure it out.
That's the third misconception worth addressing. The idea that you can just ship Euroboxes and figure out storage on arrival. You can't. Without compatible shelving already in place, the boxes lose their modular advantage immediately. They become expensive plastic bins sitting on concrete.
Let's zoom out for a second. Daniel also asked about the bigger picture. What if you're splitting your life across more than just Europe and the US? He mentioned Asian logistics as a future topic, but let's give a quick preview.
Briefly, because we'll do a full episode on this, the compatibility picture in Asia is even more fragmented. Japan uses the T11 pallet, which is 110 by 110 centimeters. That's a square. Euroboxes don't tile onto it cleanly at all. Korea also uses 110 by 110 standard. China is a mix. They use multiple standards, including 120 by 100 centimeters and 110 by 110. None of these match the Euro pallet's 120 by 80 rectangle.
The Eurobox system, which feels like this elegant universal language in Europe, is actually a regional dialect. The moment you leave the continent, you're translating.
That's really the core insight here. The Eurobox is brilliant within its ecosystem. The pallet, the container, the shelving, the box dimensions all form a coherent system. But that system was designed for European logistics infrastructure. It wasn't designed to be global. The US has its own coherent system built around different numbers. Asia has multiple systems. They don't talk to each other.
Which brings us to the practical takeaways. If Daniel and Hannah want to do this summer relocation thing, what should they actually do?
First, if they're committed to Euroboxes and plan to do this repeatedly, invest in one good Eurobox-compatible shelving unit for the US location. Import it through Ryaco or a similar supplier, accept the 2 to 3 times cost premium, and treat it as a permanent piece of infrastructure. Once it's installed, every future shipment slots right in.
Second takeaway. For a one-off or short-term stay, use the Euroboxes as shipping containers only. Ship your stuff in them, then decant into US totes or whatever shelving is available. The Euroboxes nest in store flat until the return trip. This avoids the shelving compatibility problem entirely and costs less.
Third, if they want a middle path, the 48-inch shelf workaround is viable. Two Euroboxes side by side fit almost perfectly on the width, and a shallow bin in front handles the depth mismatch. It's not the pristine modular dream, but it works, it's cheap, and everything is available off the shelf at any US hardware store.
The deeper question here, and I think this is what Daniel's really poking at, is whether a modular storage enthusiast can maintain a single system across continents. And the answer is, sort of. You can do it, but it requires either money, creativity, or compromise. There's no frictionless solution.
That's actually a broader point about standards. We tend to think of standards as universal. That's the whole promise, right? A standard means it works everywhere, but standards are regional. They emerge from local industries, local regulations, local supply chains. The Eurobox is a European standard. The GMA pallet is a North American standard. They're both excellent within their domains, but they weren't designed to interoperate.
It's the Tower of Babel, but for plastic boxes.
And the question for someone like Daniel, who's thinking about splitting his life across continents, is whether the friction of maintaining two systems is worse than the friction of forcing one system to work where it wasn't designed to.
I think for most people, the answer is going to be maintain two systems. It feels like giving up on the dream of a single universal storage language, but pragmatically, it's less headache. Buy US shelving and US totes for the US location. Keep your Euroboxes for Europe. Except that repacking is part of the move.
Unless you're moving frequently enough that the repacking cost, in time and frustration, exceeds the cost of importing compatible shelving. For someone doing this twice a year, every year, that $400 shelving unit starts to look cheap compared to the hours spent transferring everything between incompatible boxes.
That's the calculation Daniel and Hannah need to make. How often are these moves happening, and how much is system consistency worth?
One more thing on the US side. If you do go hunting for Eurobox-compatible shelving, don't just search for Eurobox shelf. The US distributors often list them under brand names like Racco, or you can look at modular drawer cabinet makers like Lista and Vidmar. These are industrial suppliers. Their stuff is built for machine shops and factories, so it's overbuilt for home use, but it's dimensionally compatible. Expect to pay industrial prices.
Lista and Vidmar are the kind of brands where you don't look at the price tag until you're already committed.
Their cabinets can run into the thousands, but a basic shelving rack from Ryeco is in that 400 to 600 range, which is a lot for a shelf, but not insane for a permanent piece of furniture that solves a specific problem.
To bring it all together, the US has its own industrial tote standard at 24 by 20 inches, which is close to but incompatible with the Eurobox's 60 by 40 centimeters. The GMA pallet at 48 by 40 inches shares the length with the Euro pallet but is 21.6 centimeters wider. US shelving is built around 48 inch increments that don't match Eurobox depth. And the practical solutions range from importing specialty shelving at a premium, to creative use of standard US shelving with the 2x2 grid trick, to simply maintaining parallel systems.
Next time, we'll look at Asia, where the picture gets even more complicated. Japan's T11 pallet is a square 110 by 110. China juggles multiple standards. The Eurobox faces even steeper compatibility challenges there.
Looking forward to that one. For now, Hilbert, you've got something for us?
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The volcanic gas plume from Mount Erta Alay in Ethiopia's Danakil Depression, which extends into what is now Somaliland, was analyzed in 1974 and found to contain unusually high proportions of carbonyl sulfide. The name carbonyl derives from the same Latin root as carbon, but the -yl suffix traces back through 19th century German chemical nomenclature to the Greek -hyl, meaning wood or matter, a linguistic fossil from the era when organic chemistry was still called the chemistry of living substances.
Carbonyl sulfide and Greek wood. This has been my weird prompts. If you want to send us your own logistics puzzles or anything else that's been rattling around your head, email the show@myweirdprompts.com. We're at myweirdprompts.com. Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.